with that, I'm just going to turn the time over to Dave and have him get started.
Thank you. And have you placed this on Q&A mode? If you would, please, that would be great. Now, Q&A mode allows us to keep this call very clean, and we want this call to be as interactive as possible. I want to walk through the structure of how all of this is coming together, and you're on a maiden voyage, so be prepared to have some fun and be a little flexible as we go through this, because it's very exciting. I want to give you just a little bit of history of what has happened since December. As you know, we have coached with thousands of people. I've had the privilege of doing about 15,000 hours of coaching just in the last 4 years with people actively seeking abundance. And we've had an opportunity to debrief about 3,000, personally, 3,000 assessments, along with several thousand others with our other coaches. And we have been able to discover some very specific thought processes that are shared by those actively seeking abundance. We also discovered something else, and that is that the skill of becoming an intentional creator can be learned. However, it is not a skill set that is normally taught in our society. People without it come to opportunities like direct selling opportunities or multi-level marketing opportunities or other business opportunities, and they come excited and people come to these opportunities ready to take on the world and generate millions of dollars in income, but there is an instant disconnect. And the disconnect is that they come to it having been trained, thoroughly trained, to be a very good employee. And being an intentional creator is a very, very different mindset. The quicker someone learns the principles of becoming an intentional creator and adopts them in their life, the quicker they start to experience success in whatever business adventure they choose. So my objective over the next 52 weeks of us spending time together every Tuesday night is to walk you through very specific lessons and instructions for becoming an intentional creator. We'll have people join us each week as they come on board and become a part of this process. And then we're going to use this as a forum to coach you as much as possible, almost on an individual basis. We are going to feed your emails to me. They will come in through Lincoln. Lincoln will be sending you an email with the email address to send it to. I sense it's probably going to be intentionalcreation@augmandino.com. That would be our choice, intentionalcreation@augmandino.com. Don't send it tonight because that hasn't been set up. But I want to get your emails starting tomorrow afternoon. The things that you're dealing with on a private basis, in your business, the struggles, frustrations, as we start to learn these principles, what is not working for you? I need to know those things because each week I am coming to address your current challenges as if you were coaching with me privately. I'll ask for permission if it's appropriate to call you by name or even invite you to come on to the moderator code, if necessary, so that you can share personally or ask the questions personally, or we can explore them in more detail. If you'd rather stay anonymous, I can discuss the challenge in general. But I want this to be of extreme value to you, that it's if you have me as your personal coach every single week. Now, sometimes we may not get to one of your specific questions. I'll do my best to address those that are collectively being experienced by the group. But we want this to be an experience where you leave here and you go to a development that our programmers are doing right now. This will be coming out this weekend when you go to your creation studio, intentionalcreation.com, where you took your assessment. You should have a username and password. If you don't, send an email to Lincoln@augmandino.com. He'll make sure you have your username and password to get into the back-end tool, there are actually going to be four different studios, creation studios, a very basic, generic one that everybody gets when they take their assessment. When you choose to participate in what we call the tools, which we're now going to call the home study programs, that's an upgrade to the studio. Every one of you have already done that. The next upgrade is to participate in these group sessions, and all of you have already done that. And some of you on the phone are already participating in Studio 4, which is your personal coaching experience. We're building infrastructure as we see the need to help support this process. So bottom line is, you're going to be launched very quickly into two home study programs. Home study program number one is a 10-month program for studying the scrolls. Instead of having all of those options on the left-hand side of your library, you'll just simply click on 10 scrolls, pick the scroll, and you will see an audio bar with Unveiling the Secrets, an audio bar with the Keys to Success, an audio bar with Og narrating the scroll, a workbook page. Below that, your breakthrough journal where you can record your answers to your workbook page, your daily recorder of keeping track of reading the scroll, and then the actual scroll written. This is a comprehensive home study program, 10 months in length, for you to take on the scrolls. We're very excited about having that as a home study program. The second one, we're changing the name from the Seven Laws of Abundance to Intentional Creation, Living Your Dreams in Tangible Reality. We are incorporating all the seven laws into the six primary areas of thought that are now addressed in your assessment: connecting with people, completing tasks, discipline and structure. These are all primary thought processes: self-esteem, finding joy in the journey, and goals and expectations. We'll talk about the law of intention in one of those. We'll talk about the law of partnership. We'll talk about the law of mental creation, the law of physical creation, the law of attraction, the law of rest, the law of tithe. We're going to incorporate all of those into a comprehensive 8-month home study program that you can do on a weekly basis on your own, and that will help supplement some of your coaching with me personally, so we'll have a chance to also spend some time one-on-one in coaching for a number of weeks. So here's the plan. You'll be able to go to your studio and in your own time study the scrolls 3 times a day. That'll be a home study program. And then study one of the sections of becoming an intentional creator. You'll come to this event with questions, concerns, fears, success stories, and we will utilize our Tuesday nights to help everyone we can on this call move their life forward one more week. We have a tagline that really isn't a tagline. It's kind of clever, and that is, a year from now, we'll come. We all know that. The question really is, what will we have become? And many of us have tried quick fixes, shortcuts, and we have the evidence to prove it does not work. So we're going to take this in one bite-sized piece at a time. Now, before I start with what I'd like to share with you this evening, does anyone have any questions about what I just shared with you? Just press *6 to come off of mute. I'd like to share a couple stories with you. It's very hard to do this in the sense that, you know, many of you on this phone, that in 1988 and 89, Ramona and I lost a lot of money, several million dollars. I spent the next 10 years paying back what was nearly $1 million, just a little bit short of $1 million. And then we've rebuilt our estate and our life. We learned some great lessons through that time. We We also became very acquainted with the fact that we understood from an early age the laws of intentional creation. I want to share with you a couple of times when this became painfully obvious, and I share this for you to reflect on your own life to see if there isn't a story that is similar, a situation where you may have learned this as well and maybe forgot it. Two things that are essential as we begin this process. One of them is a work ethic, and the other is an absence of fear. When I was 15 years old, I had the privilege of going to work for a man by the name of Terry Byers. Terry and Beverly Byers. They owned a place called Woodrock Landscaping in Arvada, Colorado, just right outside of Denver. I remember the very first day, and I've shared this, so I won't give you any details all over again this evening, the first day on the job that Terry asked me to load a tractor onto a trailer that was attached to a truck, and I'd never driven any of them. But I confidently backed the truck up, hooked up the trailer, put down the ramps, and drove the tractor up onto the trailer. The problem was that as soon as the front wheels touched the trailer, the truck and the trailer began to roll forward. I'd forgotten to put the thing into gear and set the brake. And with the mind of a 15-year-old, I gunned the throttle on the steering column, trying to keep up with the trailer, but as soon as the back wheels touched the ramp, it all stopped, and I catapulted over the front of the trailer into the back of Terry's brand-new pickup truck. And Terry simply came out of the house, asked me to go get some 2x12s in a garage, and I did. We lowered the bucket from this front-end load tractor. As we lowered the bucket on those boards, the front end of the tractor came up, put boards underneath those front tires, and drove it back up onto the trailer. Then we climbed in the truck and drove off to our first job. We pulled up to the job, and Terry, as he was climbing out of the truck, said, "I need to go talk to the homeowner, unload the tractor." And I thought, wow. Sonia, thank you. I was petrified, but I did. I backed the tractor off the trailer and was never afraid of that tractor again. It was a few weeks later. I had just turned 16, and we were asked to build a brick and sand patio. Now, some of you heard me tell this story before, but I want to tell it to you in the context of one of the key elements of becoming an intentional creator. Here we were. Terry worked with me from 6 to 8 in the morning, and then he would leave for his job at DuPont. Customer never knew he had a full-time job. They thought he was off to a landscape job. He'd come back at noon for an hour, and then he'd come back at 5 or 5:15, and we would work late into the night. And here we were on this back patio. Small patio was covered. All the bricks were there. The sand was there. We're ready to start the job. My instructions were 30 minutes long, driving from the landscape yard to this property, as he explained to me how to build a brick and sand patio. Well, we got there. We got it all lined out and ready to go. And he started to leave, and you could see the homeowner have this moment of panic. You know, this 16-year-old snot-nosed kid was all that was left, and he was going to build her patio? And Terry noticed her concern and turned and said, "Don't worry, he's my best man." And I thought, I was his only man, but I was his best man. Have you had a mentor like that somewhere along the way? Someone who challenged you to do something beyond your normal ability. Challenged you to do something you had never done before. Something that would cause you to reach deep into your soul, to get past your fear, to gather all of the power from the universe, if you will, to give you the guidance necessary to minimize mistake. Have you ever had this experience? If you haven't, we're going to want to create one. Because many of you have stepped into a profession that is much like staring at bricks and sand and never having built a business like this, building this patio, real estate business, health and fitness business, whatever it might be for those of you on the phone tonight. Well, we did build it. And I was very careful. And luckily it worked. A few weeks after that, we were at another job. And I was to build a retaining wall with lava rock. Now, this lava rock was light enough that I could pretty much muscle it around, 2 or 3 feet in diameter, about 8 to 12 inches thick. I built it with the rocks laying flat against the hillside. They looked really pretty. They had moss on them. And by the time Terry got there at noon, I had built the most beautiful wall. Now, if anybody's ever built a retaining wall, you know you don't lay the rocks flat against the hillside, but I did. Terry climbed out of his truck, looked, and realized that I didn't understand what he had said to me earlier that day. And without a word being spoken, simply climbed up and walked along the edge of the hill as my retaining wall collapsed. And then using his hands, holding them flat, he said, "You lay one on top of the other, like those bricks over there. That will make it strong and sturdy." He got back in his truck and drove away. That was it. And built the retaining wall. I also can remember, a lot of memories from working at this place, that he once entrusted me to go to Raton, New Mexico to pick up some of this lava rock. I rode down on the bus and met these cowboys, and they were real cowboys, Raton, New Mexico. They had an open bed with walls, semi-truck, trailer, and truck, and we were going to go out and pry all this rock up and load it up and bring a load back up to Denver, Colorado. Unfortunately, it rained the first 3 days, and we really couldn't get the truck out into the field. It would have gotten stuck. And so we spent those 3 days trying to climb on the cows that were in the corral. And I went shopping and got a pair of cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. And, you know, I wasn't a tobacco-chewing guy, but I had my bubble gum. So, you know, I was like trying to be this wannabe cowboy. Well, the sun finally came out, but we only had 2 days left. And we did as much as we could, I thought. You know, dutiful kind of employee. Then we climbed in the truck, and I rode in the passenger seat back up to Denver. I was hit by a lightning bolt. Not a real one, the emotional one. About 10 miles outside of Denver. It was the first time I realized how little rock there was in this semi-truck. And I just had anxiety pour over me. We pulled into the yard. Terry was excited to see us. He climbed up on the truck and pulled the canvas back. And he didn't say anything. He just looked up at me on the other end of the trailer and just looked. He didn't shake his hands. He didn't grimace. He just looked into my soul as if to say, "David, you have really let me down. David, I pay the same price for a full truck as I do for a partially full truck. This business runs on a very thin margin. You were given the responsibility to create a truckload of rock, and this is what I got." That's what I could feel him saying to my soul. I'm not sure there's been a day since. We haven't thought about that. I haven't thought about that. And when I get toward the end of the day, I take an inventory of the truck trailer. How full is it? Can there be a little bit more rock put in the trailer before I go to sleep? See, that's what intentional creators do. They have a direct relationship between the activity that they do and the revenue they generate. They know that the food they eat, the bed they sleep in, the roof that covers them is dependent on, the quality of, is dependent on the work they do. They depend on no one or anything to do it for them. They are totally and completely responsible for the creation of their life. Now, this can be scary for some, because I'm very cognizant that 97% of those who are acting abundance share two thought processes in common. 98% of those use them destructively to fantasize what it's going to be like then, when, and then. What's going to be like when I'm rich, then I can. And we live in fantasy. As a result, we suffer catastrophe, frustration. Knowing that many of you on this phone have lived in this place, and you have come to this opportunity to get away from stress, to get away from pain, to finally be rich, to finally make enough money to be above it all, knowing that was your primary reason for investing in this in the first place. My mission now is to turn you into an intentional creator, one who wakes in the morning with a clear vision and takes passion-driven action with focus and discipline and actually creates. It's my intention to also show you and teach you and stand by your side and even sometimes cry with you when it hurts. To assist you in taking actions each and every single day, even in spite of financial challenges that emotionally can swamp Hercules. Some of you are in that situation right now. Some of you know people who are in it. The coaching client today, I wept with her. Oh, my heart was moved. Tremendous pain. My mission is going to be to turn you into an intentional creator so that you can find the joy, the real joy, that comes from creation versus the counterfeit joy that comes from norepinephrine when we're in fantasy, so that you can, as the book title says, live your dreams in tangible reality. We doing okay so far? I don't share my stories with you to boast. I don't have a need for that. If I share them with you, it's to open up your heart to possibilities and for you to know that what I speak of is true. There are a lot that would try to teach you differently. And I've assessed thousands who attempted those methods, all of whom ended up broke, broken, and angry. And when we learn to become an intentional creator and we are congruent with the law, I want to introduce you to one of the great miracles of the universe. It's when the power that governs the universe becomes your partner. And you discover that although you must initiate intentional creation on your own, you will not be creating alone. I'll do my very best to share with you how that works so that you can have that peace of mind. So in the middle of a firestorm, you'll know that you are known. You will trust that which is unseen because of the evidence that has mounted when you have been congruent with these laws. So that's where we're headed. I want to just pause for a moment and see if there's anyone who's got a question or a comment before we proceed any further this evening. Just press star 6 if you'd like to come off of mute.
Dave, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I just want to make sure that this was working.
I hear a second voice. Go ahead.
This is Kendall Stock. How are you?
Hi, Kendall.
Hey, question for you. I'm rapidly writing as quickly as I can through my notebook here. I'm wondering, can we unlock somehow our journal? I guess when I call in for our next week call, will we be able to unlock our journal so that we can record the breakthroughs in our intentional creation studio?
Yes. Matter of fact, we've had that conversation. This call is going to be posted in your intentional creation studio under week one. And I'm hearing what you're saying is, could we have week one unlocked already with a breakthrough journal so you could take notes there even before the recording is posted? Is that what I'm hearing, Kendall?
Well, yeah, I'm taking notes in my journal here, but would like to, keep them as organized as possible. So it's no big deal for today's call. I'm just wondering if that will be possible for next, have it unlocked and be able to take notes there.
Let's make that the plan.
Great.
Since we get off this call tonight, I will initiate that. I had never seen it till you said it. Thank you for your vision.
No problem.
That we unlock the week ahead of time, so when we come to the call, you can be on that week with your breakthrough journal entry, so you can be typing right into that journal, press save at the end, and you'll have everything permanently saved in your creation studio. Great. That's a wonderful idea.
Now, to go back on questions? I do the same thing, star 6, is that right?
Star 6, huh?
All right.
Anyone else have a question or a comment? Well, I want to tell you one more story, just very briefly. On December 22nd of 2008, that's about 5 months ago, I received a phone call. And the phone call was about the economy and some of the challenges in the economy. And we had been thinking about ways to solve these problems for some time. Many of you who are parties to some of the clients that we coach with on a regular basis, larger companies, know that we have been doing some what we call no one left behind trainings, ways to get principles into people's lives somewhat inexpensively. And it still wasn't solving the problem. We decided as a team that we were going to take on the possibility of creating an effective online assessment. Online. So someone could take it and get a basic debrief for free. On December 30th, sitting right here at this desk, Lincoln sitting across, we were discussing this when we finally saw it. I hurry and scribbled right on a yellow pad of paper, and Lincoln recently gave me the copies of those pieces of paper that I have now. They're treasured, the notes of drawing out a very rudimentary version of what you've now seen online. That's all we had. It came so powerfully. I know physiologically what happens when you get these insights. You could get them in terms of how to market to a specific segment of the marketplace or an advertising campaign on Craigslist that you might want to put together or an email campaign or anything that you might be attempting to create. If you really are focusing and you're focusing on how can you serve people, how can you bring benefit to their lives, trusting that the economics will all work out for you, but first of all, focusing on the needs of the others in partnership with this power that governs abundance, bringing abundance to the lives of others. Well, my experience was that I saw this assessment. I finally saw it. If you have an opportunity to go back and take a look at it, there's a round circle in the middle that represents the earth. The characteristics of an intentional creator surround the earth. What you may not know is that the length of each one of those measurements is significant. The words you ranked have a very specific mathematical order. And in the perfect world graph, they are in their exact mathematical order. You'll notice when you go back next time that empathetic, the very first measurement, is longer than the next one. They get increasingly shorter and shorter and shorter till they get to the middle. They get longer and longer and longer and longer as they come around the rim of the earth, representative of their mathematical value. When you move one of those measurements out of place, and some of you have had that experience, you get to go, ah, you see how they stick into your world like a sharp shard of glass. We had completed that piece. It's programmed. We sent people their results with us all tangled up. The first version, the bars had explanations that were 4.5 to 5 minutes long each. I was sitting right here at the desk one night when I got the report back from our team of beta testers that it was terribly confusing, overwhelming. If they had to listen to every one of those 4.5 minute messages, it would take them the rest of the week, and they didn't have time for it. And I stood right here at this desk, sat here at this desk, looking at my computer screen, staring at this world all mixed up. I just want you to think about this in terms of some of the challenges you face. You see, an intentional creator never goes into fear. The vision was so clear, I knew this was the right thing to do. This was an opportunity to do one of two things. Let's write this down. One, to improve the process. Or two, to discover something we had not seen. Hurdles in intentional creation are always opportunities for improvement. Now, if we've been fantasizing, we've got a clear vision of the way we want it, and we're stuck to it. And if it doesn't turn out that way, we're frustrated, and we can be angry and disappointed and disillusioned. Not intentional creators. Intentional creators went to get the vision to understand what needed to be created and came back to make that tangible reality, create it. Sitting here staring at the screen, the world's all mixed up. Three questions you'll hear me ask them frequently, so write these down. What can I create? How can I create it? And how will this serve? What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? I'm staring at my computer screen. You may be staring at an ad campaign. You may be staring at your fear to make phone calls. Lots of things that can be barriers to bringing this into tangible reality, your dreams. And I sat here and became still. You can't be still when you're in fear. You can't be still when you're in fear. You can't be in creation when you're in fear. In creation, I asked the question. Something came to my mind so powerfully as if I thought I'd heard somebody say it. Put your world back together again. It hit me so profoundly, I picked up the little sticky note right next to me and wrote it down. Put your world back together again. I have that sticky note in my journal. I stared at the sticky note. I stared at the screen. Seems so obvious now that we do it. We drag and drop it and put it back together. Nobody thought about that. Until that moment in time, I went, oh, my goodness, is that possible? I called our programmer. It's 10 o'clock at night. I said, Josh, is there any way possible you could figure out that after we give someone these results all messed up, that they could drag and drop this and put their world back together again? He said, I don't know. And Josh is a talented programmer. He said, I'll have to think about that. Can I get back to you in the morning? I said, I'll be back in here at 4 a.m. Just send me an email and tell me what's going on. I went to bed. 4 o'clock the next morning, I turned on my computer, and there it was. When I was able to get in touch with him, I said, what happened? He said, I went to bed because I was exhausted. He'd been programming day and night for us for weeks. I said, what happened, Josh? He said, I was lying in bed, and I could not sleep. He was in creation. He understands the principles. And an idea came into his mind, an impression of what he might do. He didn't say, well, I'll do that in the morning when I wake up. He got up right then. That's what intentional creators do. They get up right then, and he went and created it. And the creation was waiting for me at 4 a.m. In the morning. Now imagine going through the assessment process you went through without that drag-and-drop capability. The same is true of the studio. The same is true of this new version of the studio. When this is done, it's going to be a wonderful piece of programming to bless people's lives. We're launching the first version of this, co-branded with a very large company, Credit Correction and Repair Company, at the end of this week, and blessing their lives and their customers' lives. Very exciting. I share the story with you again for you to reflect on your own lives. Kendall, you came on the line a moment ago. You're responsible to build a business in Southern California at a very difficult time in this marketplace. And how many times can we just become overwhelmed? Meeting attendance may not be what we want it to be, or there might be some other frustrating thing occurring, or someone decides to leave the business. They lose heart and can't do it anymore, whatever it might be. And being in that moment and saying, what can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? And then being still. And when you get the impression, act on it immediately. This isn't about being crazy or obsessive. I got a call last night from my coach, Kevin Hall. It was 12:30 at night in New York. That's where he was. He wanted to call me to tell me about a meeting they just had with a publisher on his new book. By the way, everybody here should be getting an email inviting you to a wonderful conference call with Kevin and Gilbert Malott and myself tomorrow night, talking about Kevin's book and intentional creation and how they are so beautifully woven together. Kevin was gracious enough to include us in his book, and I've got an endorsement on the back of the book, and he's got the four major publishers in New York right now fighting for it, and it will be sold on Thursday. It's so exciting to have his call last night. When he got done, I was lying in bed and I couldn't sleep, and I was thinking about a chapter that I'm working on. I had to come down here, and I wrote till 2 o'clock in the morning. Still had to get up at 5, but still energized for the day, because when you're passion-driven, you can do Herculean things in your life. So with those thoughts in mind, that you want to have a work ethic, have you learned to work? Have you learned to work tirelessly? Have you been in a job that just wears you out, that you put that kind of effort in? Because that's a wonderful thing to know how to do, is to work hard. Now, some people tell you it's not about working hard, it's about working smart. That's all true. But people who work smart still work hard. They work smart, and they multiply their value 100-fold. So work ethic is a key piece. And the second is letting go of your fear. And I'll do my best as we go through this process to assist you in doing so. Where I'd like to start, any comments or questions before I go to the next piece tonight? May I ask a question? Could a few of you come off? I don't get a chance to hear as much because I spend a lot of time here in my home office working on the book, designing and working with programmers and etc. Would anybody care to share with me your experience of this assessment online? and it doesn't need to be good. We're looking for feedback to make it the best it can be. Anybody want to share an experience? Has anybody shared it with a friend? Anybody had a good laugh at some of those voices? Anybody want to share?
Dave, I will share.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to, or do you want the other gentleman to?
Oh, I'd like you to, please. Just identify yourself by your first name so I know who you are.
My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
And, yes, I have shared it with my husband, my best friend who's a minister, and a couple other people. And we went through and have talked about it. My husband is also a mental health therapist who specializes in happiness. And he was like, couldn't wait to take the assessment because it was so dead on with me that he was like, okay, I got to do this and see where he went with it. And it was very enlightening because of what we have gone through in this past 6 months that just how far we have changed. And then starting this process this next year, I'm so excited. I know it's changed my life just in the last 4 days, just since I took the assessment, because of the conversation I had with Chase about just my thought process.
Uh-huh. Well, how fun. And we invite you to share it with everyone. And when this new studio is ready on the weekend, what we want to have happen, Debbie, is for people to take the assessment. And almost every time you're online and somebody says it's free, at some point in time, it's not. Well, we're making the first basic studio all free so that they get the entire process plus some very powerful tools absolutely free. And then they can upgrade when they're ready to go to the next step in the journey, where they can get some tools like the Unveiling the Secrets and et cetera, these home study programs, or they can go to a personal coaching or group coaching. These would all be upgrades. But it's not like you only got part of the studio. I kind of love that idea. So start sharing with everybody you know. We just love to get as much feedback from as many people as possible. And if people can't afford to buy from us, we know eventually they may. If we give them real value, we may have an opportunity to serve them later. But we'll know we serve them right then. Thank you, Debbie. Anyone else want to share, please?
Yes, David. This is Dion. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Yes, when I took the assessment, there was a few things I learned about myself as far as, for instance, I've always thought of myself as being uncourageous. The assessment that it was totally 180 degrees the other way.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There was a couple other things in there also that was brought to my attention. I was like, okay, that's good. You know, this good information to know about I guess what I'm trying to say. I guess sometimes you don't really know yourself or understand yourself. See yourself the way others see you, I guess.
Isn't that a wonderful discovery? Deanna, I had a fun experience this morning. We've got a new person that was interested in becoming a coach. So I had her take the assessment. I said, call me back on Monday and let's talk about it. So we got online with her results, and I clicked on one of the measurements and had her listen to it. She says, that's not me. I went, okay, that's interesting. And I clicked on another one, and it wasn't long before she was laughing. And once she started laughing, she went back to the first one and said, that is so me. I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to have to face that. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And we started to have some real fun with it. It is interesting that for some, it's hard to take a look at some of these things, but we've tried to make them as funny as possible, as humorous as possible. There's a few of them that just aren't. We've tried to prepare people before we deliver some of those lines. But if you want to have fun with this, share it with a friend. And then when your friend takes it, sit down together and compare each other's assessment and have them give you feedback on your measurements. It is very interesting to hear somebody else say, oh, my goodness, that is so you. Wow, that is so you. And give us an opportunity. You want to do it with a good friend that's not going to hurt you, so that you can get a little deeper into some of these thought processes. Now, you have in your library the 36 affirmations. You also will have loaded up by this weekend what's called the risk report, which is taking those measurements in the world and dividing them into the six primary areas of thought, such as connecting with people. You'll be able to open up your risk report. I think you can do connecting with people already. That one's loaded up. And look at each one of the measurements and read more about it. And you'll notice as soon as the home study program for intentional creation is loaded up that I have mirrored that with the risk report. So you'll look at connecting with people, and then there's a whole section on how to learn how to connect with people. Walls of resistance. What are those? We try to take them down by throwing up on people. We try to take them down by beating them down with a sledgehammer. We might try to avoid them by spending time in cyberspace, or we can take them down with agape love, and I explain what that is. Then there's like 10, well, we just had thunder and lightning. Wow. About 10 pages of what we call intrinsic validation, how to take down someone's wall of resistance, and then partnership, the ultimate connection, how to partner with that power in bringing abundance to someone and connecting with them using that power. So you'll find that the home study program correlates directly with those six primary areas of thought as found in your affirmations, as found in your risk report, as found in your world. Everything now will tie together. Instead of just being seven laws, it's now tied into those same six areas, so everything will correlate. But they get free, your friends, when you send this to them, they get free the special articles. They get free the great books, like Kevin's book, Kevin Hall, this call tomorrow night. He's put the first four chapters, his favorite four chapters, online. You can actually download the chapters for free and read them. There's financial services, like Lexington Law Firm is offering their credit repair services at a great price to our clients. And then the affirmations. And then your friends can have their risk report as part of the free studio simply by calling an intentional creation mentor for their free 20-minute consultation. That'll give the intentional creation mentor time to help them better understand their report, understand the tools they've already been given, and then an opportunity to share with them some of the other tools they could upgrade to when they're ready. But that's what's going to be available when you give this to a friend. So enjoy sharing it with others. And ensure having your friends help you debrief your own and help you to debrief theirs. Anyone else? Okay. Now, don't wait for me to give you an invitation. This is an open invitation. This is your coaching session. Don't sit back and at the end say, I wish I'd asked him, or gosh, I should have got on. I would love in the middle of a sentence to hear, Dave.
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Speak to me.
Being this seasoned citizen that I am, I was really shocked with my assessment because I had a few red lines in there that I didn't think that was me. But I haven't had a chance to really look through it. I know I called one of your mentors and said, I don't think that's right, you know. But I have to tell you, I'm embarking on a trip to see all of my friends and family in the upper Midwest, taking my computer with me. And if there's anyone that can do an assessment on me, it would be my girlfriends that we've known for 65 years, you know. So there are nine of us that get together once a year. So I'll and not too many of them are computer literate, as nor am I. So but I was surprised to find out that I'm really not too teachable, and maybe it's because I think I know everything. No? And I'm not disciplined, now that I know. But goal-oriented, I don't know whether I've overcome all of these all my life, and this is so new to me at this age. You know, in the past, I have been disciplined. In the past, I have been teachable, you know, with my business. But now I'm on a new venture, and this new venture has really made me quite humble. And I thought to myself, how am I going to do this and go on a three-week trip? And that was my question. I thought, am I going to have to go put stickies up on the hotel room or in the bathrooms where I stay? Because I'm going to St. Louis, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis.
Well, just know if you can't attend, it's recorded and up the next morning, so you will have access to it. But we would love to have you on the call live when you can be.
Yes. Well, that's very good. But I thought to myself, I read the 10 scrolls, and I thought, how am I going to, for 30 days, do the scroll number one when there's so much activity around? And I'm wondering whether you think it's...
you won't do scroll one for 30 days. How does that sound?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And then
you only do it for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's when Og developed what's called the greatest secret.
Yeah.
He really wants you starting with scroll number two. Read scroll one so you understand that we're trying to develop new habits of thinking and what's going to happen when you do, and here's how you do it. Now let's go to work and start the process. Starts with scroll two.
That's what I thought, and I thought, well, I can't do scroll one for 30 days, and now I'm glad that you say I can go to scroll two. So anyway, you might be getting a few phone calls from me during my trip. So I'm hoping that this can create a new seasoned citizen.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful that you're open to growth. And may I share something to take a little pressure off of that concern?
Certainly.
These are just thoughts. You certainly are a seasoned, mature woman. I want you to picture yourself sitting at the head of the boardroom table of your mind, in charge, surrounded by these six primary areas of thought that comprise these 36 measurements. And every once in a while, one of these characters has developed maybe a bad habit along the way and wants to sabotage one of your ideas or sabotage your action. You are fully capable today, without this assessment, of overriding that thought process and choosing to think differently. What's exciting about knowing where the pressure point is, that teachable one down there is kind of closed, and it gets a strong opinion about the way things ought to be done, and then someone comes and challenges it, and it knows it's right, and it's a little frustrating.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's true.
And so here we are going, wow, if I listen to that, I could become defensive.
Yeah, well, I have become defensive because I have had the young adults, all gentlemen at heart, you know, put their arm around me and call me sweetie, and I've always told them, don't do that. And one of the leaders said, oh, Joanne, you have too many rules. So then he said, can I call you sweetie to one of my friends, to Sonia? But it isn't a problem, it's a condition that I'm in at this stage of my life.
Well, just know, for those that are on the phone, and we're having this conversation in detail with some of your measurements, because 97% of the people on the phone are going to have similar measurements in two areas. And one of them has to do with goals and expectations, which is the ninth measurement down on the right-hand side. For many of you, it will be red, if not orange.
Yes, mine is red.
Many of you will be red. I think it might be helpful, and Lincoln, just make a note for future discussion. Right. I'd like to spend maybe 10 minutes out of each one of these hours going into detail about some of these measurements in your assessment. especially the 7 most common ones that are shared by so many of you, so that we can better understand what's going on. Because this measurement, goals and expectations, we are going to spend, we'll spend a fair amount of time on this one during these weekly calls, because this is the thought process that drives our vivid visualization. This is the one that drives our fantasy. Oh, when I finally get here, then I'll be okay. When I finally have enough money to pay off my house, then. When I finally, it's the fantasy measurement. And it's just saying that this is really important to this thought process, this visualization. That's why it's red. It was ranked a lot higher than it should have been. It was way up the list. It's getting a lot of attention, and sometimes at the expense of some other really important things. And we may create some expectations about how easy the business should be, how many people should show up at a meeting, how sales should be, how much money we should be making, all of those expectations that are created by how we use this thought process. And one of the focal points of the home study program, and we'll discuss it in our coaching sessions, is using this thought process constructively. It's one of the few thoughts that if it stayed red, but you used it constructively, it could serve you at an extremely high level. Red just says danger, danger, danger. If you're not using it constructively, it may destroy you. It'll drive you absolutely crazy because life will just doesn't show up the way it wants life to show up. And we can be frustrated and angry and disappointed and even depressed at times. This is the one that takes us on that roller coaster to the top of the peak where we have this norepinephrine coursing in our bodies and we're feeling so excited about how much money we're going to make it all the way home from the meeting. We're going from $10,000 to $20,000 to $30,000 to $40,000. Oh, by the time we got home, we got Lear jets we own and tropical islands, or we got all our debts paid off and no more stress. And the next morning we wake up and life shows up differently. We get a bill in the mail or person calls and says they can't come to the meeting, and all those kinds of things that can happen, and boom, our body, because this is red, the mind is so locked into it, same brain chemistry, brain circuitry is fired as if it had already happened, and then the person calls who is going to buy and says they can't come, the body goes into an autonomic response. Cortisol, fear dendrites shut down our brain. We can be emotionally paralyzed for a period of time until we can get ourselves built back up again and have that norepinephrine experience. This red bar, oh, we'll have some fun with this one. Now, could everybody come off for mute just for a moment, star 6, and just say orange or yellow, orange or red?
Red.
Red.
Red, red. What else have we got?
Which one?
Sonia?
The ninth measurement on the right-hand side, it's called goals and expectations.
Oh, red.
Red. Can you feel it?
Everybody's
dealing with it. Red, orange, red, red. 97% of those actively seeking abundance have this either orange, borderline red. That's just where it sits. So it's one of the major thought processes we are going to want to master as a team, and I understand this one. I've got the same measurement. Mine's red. But I've learned how to use it constructively. And, oh, is it a powerful tool in intentional creation if you know how to use it. I'll teach you how to do that. You've got stuff you can, just, you know, the home study course, you can read about it. But I'll give you some hands-on stuff as well as we go through this process. Well, here we are. I'm going to highly recommend that you begin the study of your scrolls immediately. Scroll number 1, just read it a couple of times just to get really clear. Now, when Og wrote these scrolls, you may or may not know this, but he wrote them all in one night. Betty said that he had been hired, had been given a contract to write The Greatest Salesman in the World. He'd written the beginning, written the end, and then he was supposed to deliver the wisdom of the ages. He'd kind of set himself up. He was painted in a corner, she says. And he's now the editor of Success Magazine. He doesn't know what to do. He's getting close to the deadline. She said he's getting ornery, unbearable to live with. And he takes 2 days off of work. He's sitting at the dinner table one night at 5 o'clock, and the light bulb comes on. He got up, went into his library, which was just filled with books. Og didn't have a college degree, but his education was right there in his books. And he began typing on his IBM Selectric. And she brought him coffee and Danish through the night. At 9 o'clock the next morning, he walked into his bedroom, collapsed on the bed, and said, "It's done." Slept for about 15 hours. That's how the scrolls were written. This is an amazing thing to read, and intuitively, he wrote them in what's called the language of the intrinsic, which means they come to you. You don't have to go to them. Unlimited interpretations, unlimited applications. They will meet you where you live if you read them with an open heart. Then start on scroll number 2. I'll greet this day with love in my heart. You'll read about this when you listen to or hear about it in Unveiling the Secrets in the Ten Scrolls. Listen to that hour-long program on scroll number 2. I talk a lot about the agape love and what Og was really trying to say, because this is the only scroll Betty made him tweak a bit, because it was too complicated. He understood the Greek said eros, pia, phila, agape, and what that meant in terms of love. It's a heightened level of awareness he's talking about, not warm and fuzzy love. A heightened level of awareness, that's the secret of success in all ventures. You'll read that scroll with that in mind and have that start to come alive in your life. And just know that it's unlimited interpretations, unlimited applications. It will come to you. Now, we will talk next week, but I want to make this point and have it on the recording. There'll come a point during the course of the month when you'll not want to go through the process again, or you want to miss one of the times. Don't miss them. If you miss them, just move to the next day. Don't go back and try to recover or start all over again. You don't do that. There's no scroll police. You won't get arrested. You're just breaking the back of one of your thought processes that doesn't like structure. But here's a key point. At some point in your study, you're going to find your mind wandering. Now, what do you think my advice to you is when your mind wanders?
Listen.
Listen. Follow.
Catch it. Be aware and regroup and refocus.
I'm going to have you follow your mind. Follow your mind. Now, both of you are correct, because we want to follow it and determine whether it's going someplace inspired. You just have awoken your mind. Your awareness has been raised. Are you being given from the power that governs abundance? I call that God, but you can call it what you want. Are you being given some instructions, a person to talk to, a place to go that you haven't thought about till your mind was finally clear enough to receive it? Now, you may discover when you follow it that it's just wandering. Now, then you rein it back in. But don't just summarily dismiss the wander. Follow it and see where it's going. You may receive one of the strongest impressions in your life. I know that I did. I still vividly remember, and I've shared this story with a number of you before, when I'm driving home from the office listening to Scroll 2, and I'm reflecting on a conversation with Ramona that morning, and I realize she's got to be exhausted. I call on the phone. Scroll's still playing. What's for dinner? Oh, I haven't started. I'm going to bring it home. Would that help? Yes. I stop and get the food, stop and get some flowers, walk into the kitchen. She turns around and bursts into tears. And I'm thinking, the scrolls are working. Yes, Og, the scrolls are working. You awoke my mind to an awareness I had missed earlier in the day. Now, if I'd have just simply reined my mind in, I'd have missed that. Well, I'd have heard the scroll, but I'd have missed the point. So there'll be a point in the process where you will let your mind wander, because you are now in a very wonderful, peaceful, still place. Don't miss this. A key part of becoming an intentional creator is creating 3 times a day an opportunity to raise your awareness so it can sustain you when the waves of life crash over you, some of those tsunamis that can hit us. So study that vigilantly, and it will bless your life and speed up your process. Well, next week we'll take this up, start in this process with the scrolls. Come back with your questions. Lincoln will give you an email address where to send your emails so that I can know what to address. I will take on a couple thought processes next week so we can go deeper into your own assessments. I'm here to serve you, so if you need something, it's your responsibility to communicate it so I know it, and then I'll do my very best to address it. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week, okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
John McClain?
Mary Cox?